thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and everything in between, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Did you know she played the Gooch? I just know that's what we do whenever we have to restart.
Listen. Listen. I guess that happened that one time when we restarted several times. So I restarted because I started recording the intro. I got this fancy new microphone. I'm really hoping it sounds good for all you guys out there in the listening land. But I got this new microphone, and it was exceptionally quiet, despite what I was seeing in some other readings as I was doing it. Reaper was just picking up quiet.
Which, I mean, Reaper will do that. I know on Friday's show, my levels were all over the place, but it's because I haven't recorded in almost 2 months, or a month and a half. And then I also, had a brand new microphone that I was fixing the levels with, and I just didn't think to fix it. As I was moving, so I understand that entirely.
That's fair. All right, so, got it up and running, though. Everything seems good now. Seems golden. Hopefully I sound as good as everybody else now, because I finally joined that Yeti crowd, or the blue crowd.
As somebody who listens to the shows that I'm not on, your microphone was never... I never noticed your microphone being bad.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as bad from what I understand. It was never bad. It just wasn't up to par.
Because Tanner
with everybody else
had a couple of bad mic days in the early remote recordings, but we never had a bad microphone. I don't think. Even whenever Shannon's microphone was busted, now that he's got from the new one, it wasn't a bad microphone situation.
We have had some bad recordings.
That's constant. We call that horse time on Friday.
No, I mean, I'm mostly thinking of the couple of episodes we've had with Hunter's problems, where his voice was just getting all over the place. It for some reason, his recording was skipping time.
Also, fans, sorry for this whole conversation. Jesse and I have not talked in person. Well, not in person, but we have not got to hear each other's voice in quite a while. So we talked for about 30 minutes, and we'll probably do random talking before the normal stuff.
We managed to kind of get caught up, but it's still going to be some talking. All right, let's go ahead and get on with the show, though. The first thing I want to talk about, Feige has confirmed that the Deadpool 3 script is in the works, and it will be a part of the MCU, and it will be rated R.
None of that is super shocking, honestly. I'm kind of optimistic and disappointed that the first X-Men thing we're going to get in the MCU is going to be Deadpool, it seems like. But
we don't know that for sure.
We don't know for sure, but if there's a character to do it in a not... watch the pearls fall moment, Deadpool's the one to do it. And you know what I mean? I don't need to see the X-Men's origins. I know, they did Spider-Man perfectly in the MCU. I need that. I know who Wolverine is. I know who Cyclops is. Professor X just rounded up all these children with powers and said, let's go. That's all I need.
Honestly... It's one of those things, I'm still waiting to see what exactly they're doing in the multiverse. Yeah. Because it does seem very much like they're bringing all of the Marvel cinematic everything into canon.
Which...
Because we keep getting more and more information about past actors showing up in the newest Spider-Man film, including, Doc Ock is coming back. Tobey Maguire is coming back. I think they said Andrew Garfield is coming back. We've got a ton of characters. They're really going ham on this.
Yeah, which, I mean, is good. You can very much honor what was in the past, because there were some really great Spider-Man movies and then Spider-Man 3. But, there's a lot to honor in there. Yeah. And they would be dumb to not... They have all this money that they've made off of these movies, and if they just invest it back into the movies, you're only going to have better movies, I say.
Yeah, so I'm real curious to see what they're going to do with X-Men, because we don't know that they're going to start from scratch with it. They might straight up have the X-Men that we've already seen imported, straight over from Fox to the regular MCU. It gets blended
and honestly,
together. There may even, We've gotten some teasers that we might be getting information on that as soon as WandaVision here in a few
days. Which, man, I'm excited about that. We have all of the Funko Pops but one.
That is unsurprising.
It's the Chase. We can't find it. So, listeners, if you find the Chase Vision, hit a brother up. We'll figure it out. I need to get this one for Sadie. But no, like, Vision is her favorite character, and I am excited to see what they do with, like, having him back, and then the fact that it looks like it's going to be a bonkers show. Like, I am stoked for WandaVision.
No, yeah, I am too. I'm really, really excited to watch
this
show.
Anyway, back to the Deadpool thing. Like, I think he's the perfect character to have be the first one. I just wish it wasn't him.
And it's extremely possible that it won't be, because it's important to note that it's currently being written. Lizzie Molyneux-Leglin, I think, is that last name, and Wendy Molyneux, yeah. They're sisters. Those two are the ones working on the script, with Ryan Reynolds kind of overseeing it, because as you guys all know, he's put a big hand in how these movies have happened. Like, he's put a big hand in the story, the script, everything else. Like, he was really upset with how Deadpool was handled in X-Men Origins, and he wants to make sure to give the fans something great. And so far, he has absolutely succeeded in that, like, the Deadpool movies anyway. Like, I know Ryan Reynolds may not be, like, the as big of a part as we may necessarily think, but those movies have been great. They've been everything I want out of a Deadpool movie.
And
Ryan Reynolds has been awesome, and I know, like, there have been writers and directors that have departed because of Ryan Reynolds. It's like, no, we're not seeing eye to eye on this one. It's just not gonna work. So yeah, I'm excited about this movie. I really am. And filming isn't even gonna start. Like, filming isn't gonna start until 2022. We already know that we've got, was it 6 movies hitting this year? Or something ridiculous like that. And then we've got like 6 more hitting next year.
Good, because after the year of 2020 and not a dang thing to be seen.
Yeah, we didn't even get Black Widow.
No, that was the one. We were only going to get one. And that's how we should...
That was the only one confirmed.
That's how
we
should have known 2020 was garbage. Like, we knew going in that was the only one we were going to get. And we were like, oh, no.
Well, part of me wonders if, like, they didn't give us Black Widow yet, because that's going, like... I imagine there's something in Black Widow that sets up a lot of the other MCU, and that's why we haven't gotten any, like, that's why we didn't get any previews or anything else, like, on the other movies they're working on.
Because, like, you have to imagine that they have most of these movies, not most of them shot, but, like, they have to be ready to either start or, like, might also been, like, actively doing.
Yeah, no, I am sure that they have several movies just about in the can at this point.
Which...
Well, I mean, they've got to. They've got to have, like... They have to have a bunch of them, because there's a bunch of them hitting this year.
So
But I think, like, in 2020, they probably had more than just Black Widow in the can and ready to
go. Yeah, and they were just kind of waiting to pull the trigger on it.
Yep. Because I think that Marvel absolutely understands that a lot of these superhero movies rely on theatrical experience to have any amount of success.
You can,
because unless you have just a baller theater set up at home, like, you're not getting the same experience out of a superhero movie at home that you do.
And I don't think there's a lot more of yous in the world than there are of me's, where, like, I can watch a movie at home and be like, that was cool, and I can watch it in theater and be like, that was cool. But there is something to be said about having the 50,000 foot screen in front of you and the surround super sound.
Oh yeah. Because I have, like, at this point, I have a pretty nice, you know, home theater setup in both my... I have a better one in my office, and I have a good one, you know, in my living room. And it's still, like, I thoroughly enjoy watching movies on it. But then, like, you know, I think back to days of going to a friend's house, like, when a kind of a big TV was 50 inches, like, 42 to 50 inches. This is when, like, flat panels were first becoming, like, more consumer-friendly,
like,
and cheaper.
Back when the TVs had big old booties on them, because...
No, this is back
okay,
like,
so we're talking, 2009, we are talking flat screens.
2010, that kind of range. So it was one of those things, like, we went over to a friend's house, like, we had a huge get-together to watch Game of Thrones. Like, it was either a season finale or a season premiere. And we were all really excited about it. We were all going over there. And, like, you know, we're watching it, and there's, like, 20 of us in this room crowded around a 32-inch flat-panel TV. I know, right? Like, and, you know, 32 inches is still, like, that's not a small TV. It's just, when I'm sitting here, I'm staring at a 27-inch monitor right now. Like, my computer monitor is 27 inches. I have a 55-inch TV, like, feet away from me. And at this time, even, I had a 42-inch TV at home. So it's just one of those things. Like, there's a lot of people still that just rock those, you know, 32 to maybe 40-inch TVs as their, like, you know, main entertainment consumption device. And they don't even have, like, you know, sound bars or anything. Like, that's just, they have their TV, they have its default sound set up.
And, like, we don't need that negativity in our lives, though, Jesse.
What I'm getting at is that a superhero movie on the big screen is nowhere near the experience that, or is a completely different experience from your average home user. Because I understand that I am not that common, you know, my setup. So the typical home user, like, they don't get near as much out of that movie as they would seeing it on the big screen. And that's just the way it is. Granted, at this point, you know, I've talked about it several times before, setups like mine are extraordinarily affordable. Yeah, like, these days it is, I mean, my TV at my office was $200-something. It's a 55-inch 4K TV that I got for, like, $250. And I spent double that on my 42-inch TV that I still have to this day. And it's just now my bedroom TV. Yeah, it's only 1080p. And I spent well over double that. Thinking back, like, because that was, like, a $700 television when I got it. Yeah. And then, like, even my living room TV is a 55-inch 4K TV that I paid $700 for. Yeah, it really did. And it's not like, I mean, my picture on my living room TV is better, but it's not like $550 better.
$300 good.
Yeah. That's the point, though. Like, as setups become more common, and the average user is sitting at home with a 55-inch 4K TV or larger, because I, you know, even going around Christmas time, I was sitting there seeing TVs, like, on Black Friday, and I understand these are low-quality panels and everything, but that's still, like, I was seeing 65 to 75-inch TVs for $500 or less. And, like, that's crazy. So it makes it so easy. And soundbar technology has gotten so good that, like, I have a nicer sound setup in my office now, using, like, a, you know, actual stereo mixer with bookshelf speakers and a big subwoofer and all this stuff. And it is nicer than my soundboard. But my soundboard was only $75. Or my soundbar, rather, downstairs was $75, and it came with a subwoofer.
Yeah, the
that it sounds
video game
great.
TV in my room, or in my living room. I just have a normal soundbar with it that was like $50. And I've gotten to the point now, if I'm playing my PS5 and I want good sound, I just put my headset in so I can just tune out the entire world. So I don't really have that issue as much. But, like, if I'm watching TV, I try to watch the big TV with, like, the soundbar that you suggested Sadie buy, which is awesome. Yeah,
because you guys got the same, I think almost the same one I got, like an actual nice soundbar with a wireless subwoofer. Because really, I don't know how that technology works, but it's magical and wonderful.
I don't understand a lot in this world.
I think it's just
even
Bluetooth
I don't understand.
Either way.
I use it. I don't know how it works. New internet, I don't know how it works. But, man, I'm happy that I live in this mythical, magical time of 2021, technology-wise. So,
as these setups become more and more affordable, people will be able to enjoy these movies at home the same way they would at a movie theater. But it's still not there. The average user is still more on the, like, they have a 40 to 50 inch television. It could be 4K. It might still be a 1080p. And, you know, they've got either, you know, stock speakers. They might have a cheap sound bar installed. And that setup versus what you get at a movie theater is just worlds apart. And that's a lot of what drives these Marvel movies, these superhero movies, is the spectacle. Like, that's, the spectacle is just as big a deal as the content of the movie itself. So, anyway, the point of all that...
We were at...
Where did that even
Ryan
start?
Ryan Reynolds filming 2022, other movies. They had to have known that there was more... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Black Widow. And it not, like, it being ready but not releasing. Like, they didn't do like they did for Soul and Mulan and stuff like that and give us that early release. And I think that's why. They understand that a movie like Black Widow is going to benefit heavily from that big screen experience. And a lot of those Marvel movies will benefit heavily from that big screen experience.
Oh, yeah, I knew where we were. I knew where we were.
I got there eventually. I made it back. Hopefully the listeners did. So anyway, yeah, that's going to start filming in 2022. And that means the way Marvel churns out these movies, we'll probably have it in 2023.
That's 22 years away. God, we're getting old. I'm 30 yet. I met y'all when I was 23. Yeah, I want to think about it.
Yeah.
Nope.
I met Shannon.
Yeah. When I was 18. Starts getting scary really quick.
I guess technically I met Hunter when I was 11. All right. Netflix has announced a Sonic the Hedgehog 3D animated series. It's actually going to hit in 2022. That's literally all we know. 3D animated series.
I'll be able to watch it.
2022.
I got rid of Netflix.
Why?
Yeah, they got rid of The Office, and Peacock is a fraction of the cost of Netflix. And I was able to watch a live massacre on Peacock TV last night. Thank you, Browns versus Steelers. And that was just in my package of $5 a month. I was like, oh, I get NBC Sports with this. Live. That's cool.
In fairness, I've recently discovered, Kevin told me about this, like, and I don't know why I never thought this was as a viable option. You can get an antenna for $20 and it picks up the local channels so you can actually watch
football. That's true, but like, I also bought Peacock TV for The Office.
No, yeah, I'm not saying that like Peacock TV was a bad choice. I'm just saying for somebody out there thinking like, wait, I can get live football on Peacock TV.
You can get
TV.
It for $20.
That's great. Also,
once.
$20.
Yeah, once. Because they switched over to digital.
And it's HD and everything.
Whatever, that was a thing in like 2012.
Yep. So, yeah, like I went out to Best Buy, grabbed one of those bad boys, hooked it up, and immediately I was able to watch all of the wild card
games. I was about to say, you know what you can't watch on that antenna? Sick. Sonic the Hedgehog
anyway.
3D animated series.
Accurate. Yeah, I don't watch that much on Netflix anymore. It's been my, like, go-to-sleep TV thing. But, like, I've had to... I'm now down to Community. Community and New Girl
and
are the only
Peacock
two
TV
shows
has?
That I can watch to go to sleep to.
They have The Office.
What do they
got?
They
have Parks and Rec.
Sure.
They have Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
That's fair.
I mean, and I like SNL, just not as a go-to-sleep show.
That's true. They also...
Because they've also got that on Hulu.
And,
in fairness,
okay,
they also have Parks and Rec on Hulu.
Rock.
They have Parks and Rec on... Or 30
they
Rock.
They have 30 Rock.
Yeah, Parks and Rec on Hulu.
I think 30
Rock
I don't know, but
is
it's like three of my
somewhere.
Favorite shows of all time in one. I think I'm going to upgrade it to the $10 a month so I can have no ads, because that's a little annoying. And I now realize why you are the way you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Hulu is has 30 Rock as well.
I
wonder
if
Hulu
I would
the
just
Office
get rid
too.
Of my Peacock
that would be
TV because Sadie has Hulu.
Yeah, I've talked about this before. I would love it if.
Yeah, I assumed it wouldn't because
okay,
I think
the
they
Office
went exclusively to Peacock. That's their big bit. I say their big get, they own it.
Yeah. My big problem with Hulu, I would absolutely, because Parks and Rec is one of my all-time like go-to, like going to sleep shows. And I would absolutely just watch that on Hulu and be perfectly happy. Then my problem with Hulu is that they don't have what Netflix has, where they play 3 episodes and then they quit. Like, I know it's annoying when you're binging stuff and it's like, hey, are you still watching this? But whenever you're someone like me that has to have something on the TV to go to sleep, it's a real bummer to, you know, go to sleep with Parks and Rec playing. And you wake up and you're on season 2
like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something.
Shit, I don't know. What's a... No, that would be great. That it never takes me to something I like. Like, it would put me on, like, season 2 of... here, I'm just scrolling through Hulu.
I know what you're saying.
That's a movie.
I told you the really funny one that happened to me in college, right? It was when NXT was... They just made it its own, like, brand. And this was, like, 2012. And so I was, like, a couple months behind. So I just let it play in the background. And then I fell asleep one night. I woke up and they were speaking Spanish. I didn't realize there was Lucha Libre on Hulu back then. And it just put me to Lucha Libre. It was awesome. But I woke up to people speaking Spanish. That was weird.
No, yeah, that sounds great for you. Meanwhile, this one is that one that actually happened. I found it just scrolling over a little bit. I go to sleep watching either It's Always Sunny or Parks and Rec, something like that. And I wake up and I'm halfway through season one of The Mindy Project.
That's a fine show. Not really.
Is it?
That's not true. It's not the
Toby. Okay, that's not true. She's not the weakest part of The Office, but...
And this is somebody that loves Toby. This is the worst nerd up ever, Jesse. I don't know. We are so derailed.
Why?
It's not funny. But,
I mean, we ain't got much to talk about, even though we haven't done a show in over a month.
I'm gonna need COVID-19 to stop slapping around
news.
What we talk about. It's just disrespect.
I know, right? Like, it's making Nerd Up hard to do, because, like, I looked for a good, like, hour and a half for stuff to talk about today. And it's like, man, we haven't done a show since the last Nerd Up we did was me and Shannon talking about all the big Disney news. And we talked about the big Disney news, and then we spent a good chunk of time talking about the epic cyberpunk failure. And we haven't done a show since then, and yet, here's the last bit of movie/TV news. Wonder Woman 3 has already been announced, despite mixed reviews on the film.
I haven't
even seen it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's
and
worse.
I have them both available because I have HBO Max and I have the Blu-ray copy.
Yeah, I've got HBO Max. Like, there's just no reason for me not to see.
I've heard
Wonder Woman, like the Wonder Woman 1984
things about it.
Like, I just
like people didn't.
Yeah, that was the movie that I kept hearing, where I really saw the big, you know, conversation about, do these superhero movies require movie theaters? And my response to that was, I mean, yeah, sort of, but this is also a DC movie. It's
I feel like they don't know how to do
it. It wasn't
going to
be great in the first place
over at DC Studios.
They don't know how to do a lot of things over at DC. Like Birds of Prey. Like, the only movies that have come out of DC that have been, like, even sort of good are the movies where, like, DC's just like, eh, that's a cash grab. They can do whatever they want with it. That's not going to be a real popular one anyway.
Yeah.
Like, your Birds of Prey and your Shazam. Like, both of those movies ended up being really solid. Especially Birds of Prey was legitimately good.
And I haven't seen it. Nope.
You still haven't seen Birds of Prey?
Dude, I can't.
Dalton, your homework
tonight. I cannot
tonight.
Do that tonight. I got something to do on my PS5.
You have to.
I don't know.
What?
I gotta eat McDonald's.
What?
Watch Birds of Prey.
You know what your thing to do on your PS5 is?
How do you
Birds
know I bought
the disc
version? Birds of
Prey in the disc tray and watch it. Get yourself some dinner.
Yeah, I'm
get yourself
crazy.
Some dinner. I know you got the disc version. Get yourself All some right. dinner and watch Birds of Prey and enjoy it. Yes, Sadie.
You forget that it's a good time. Like 4:30 in the morning.
You'll love it.
Dash.
Man, it's 6 o'clock. We're gonna be done. Oh, with
I
this
hope
by
we're not
seven.
Going for another
Get
hour.
Some dinner and watch the movie.
We're 25 minutes in. It's 5:50. Oh, I'm pulling the curtain back a whole lot. Sorry, guys. We record right when the sun comes down.
Yeah, for Nerd Up, we just basically do it immediately.
I've heard
after
1984, because I've heard amazing things about Wonder Woman. I'm just lazy when it comes to watching movies. No, I mean, not just Mandy.
From Mandy.
Like, I've heard a lot of people really like Wonder Woman. And this one kind of seems like the letdown. Like, I've heard from, film reviewers that it's not good. I've heard from family members. I've heard from Sadie's family members that it's not good. Nobody in my family is watching a movie like this. Like... I just haven't heard a lot of people say it's amazing. I haven't heard Mandy's thoughts on it at all. But in fairness, I just me and Mandy like haven't got to talk a whole lot recently. But like, I really hope that Mandy likes it.
Mandy is to Wonder Woman like I am to Spider-Man. It has to be Spider-Man 3 levels of bad before anything Wonder Woman's going to upset her.
It's a second reference. But yeah, no, like, I hope she liked it, because, like, if Wonder Woman 19... Yeah, if it sucks, that's fine.
I'm pretty
care.
Sure she like, did.
Cool. DC's movies are super hit or miss at this point. At this point, they're miss with, like, two hits. And that does...
Yeah they're just...
And they
yeah,
do
a lot
some
of,
cool
lot of
stuff.
Miss.
Like, they did, like, two really cool scenes in Justice League. Yeah, the fight scenes Aquaman just walking out to Icky Thump was pretty punk rock. That was cool. Like, they know how to do a couple
scenes.
I
enjoyed that.
Will Smith was not horrible in Suicide Squad. If you like...
I mentioned before, like, there was nothing wrong with acting in Suicide Squad. The problem in Suicide Squad was the garbage plot.
Suicide Squad is a okay movie. There's literally 1,000 other Will Smith action movies you could have watched, but he was awesome in it. There was cool stuff.
Man, I would sooner send people to watch Gemini Man for a Will Smith movie than I would...
At least they know the characters in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
At least you would have a reason to care. That's the difference. And, like, I maintain that I think Man of Steel is a fine movie. I understand.
I fall asleep during that movie every time I try to watch it.
It's the whole thing if they don't know how to do a story well. And it was an interesting take on Superman's story of him not being a Boy Scout. Like, not super positive all the time. But then they kind of, like, backtracked. Yeah.
They completely retconned that for Justice League when he was dead. Let's move past this. We can move past this. Wonder Woman 3 is in the works.
Making money.
That's happening. Which, not super surprising. Mandy, I'm sure, will be thrilled. This next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. They're wonderful people. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs. They're still doing curbside pickup. Also, they got the website going now. You can order your books online. Please support these people. They're wonderful and beautiful and amazing.
I love them.
VillainousGrounds.com. So good. Marvel has announced... Yet another X-Book.
Sky is blue, water is wet.
I finally had to stop with X-Men entirely. As much as I have been thoroughly enjoying them, I'm going to have to wait until all this interconnected stuff stops. And until then, I'm just going to be reading it all on Marvel Unlimited. I want to continue to support all the X-Men books and everything.
You bought
a truck,
dude. You have to know when to win.
I finally dropped back to just three books, mostly because I realized that I had three books and then, like, seven
X-Men
titles. And, yeah, because they just keep doing more and more, and it's so interconnected is the problem. Like, I couldn't just read, like, it's the same problem I'm having with, like, Green Lanterns from New 52. Yeah, because I was absolutely loving the core Green Lantern book. Not to be confused with Green Lantern Corps.
The Simon Bass story.
Just Green Lantern, the main book.
The Simon Bass?
The Red Lantern book. Do what? No, Simon Bass That eventually, I think, Hal. Became Simon Baz, but it started with
Sinestro. Yeah, yeah.
Hal Jordan and
Sinestro.
Spoiler alert
for Sinestro. A comic book 6 years old at this point.
But and they killed off Parallax, yeah, yeah. I think, in that storyline finally or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but yeah, I was enjoying that book quite a bit, and I was enjoying Red Lanterns a whole lot. Especially like they introduced that new character and everything. It was really cool. But then they kept doing like crossover event after crossover event after crossover event, because it got to a point where there were six Lantern books in the New 52.
Yeah,
and you had to be buying all of them to read the
story. I didn't buy them. What I would do is I would just wait for the compendium like hard covers, and just read the story that way, because that was the only way to read it. Because it was all there, and you didn't have to like, and it was substantially cheaper to do it that way.
And to the credit of X-Men, it's not on par with Green Lantern, but it's kind of similar, because you can't really read the main X-Men book without reading most of the other ones, because it's kind of an accumulation. Like, you can be reading a lot of the individual stories, but X-Men is sort of the one that ties all of them together, and then, you know, you have the actual events that do tie them all together. Like Ten of Swords tied literally every X-Men book into one story. And yeah, because they were like each book turned into different people grabbing different swords and showing up and doing their whole thing. And it's an interesting story, but I can't
that's not sustainable.
Three X-Men books a week. Yeah, because like Ten of Swords, I think, is like a 28-part book or something like that. And it was advertised as a major Marvel event or a major X-Men event, so it makes sense. But even outside of that, like the stories end up being a little bit disjointed if you're not reading multiple books at once. So anyway, now that I've gone ahead and just told everybody why you shouldn't buy this book. Some of you might still want to get it. I am not up to date on X-Men. I don't know if it's still interconnected that, you know, much, but Way of X with C. Spurrier and Bob Quinn.
I don't hate that.
And it's going to be a Nightcrawler-led team. Right? And it's going to be about him kind of exploring the mentality of a lot of people trying to fix a lot of the problems that are happening in this new mutant Eden, where you have all these people like struggling to kind of get things going, and it'll apparently be it's carded as a book that will mix, you know, science, religion, culture, and all this other stuff to just kind of get an idea, a glimpse into what's going on with all the X-Men on their beautiful new homeland. And yeah, Nightcrawler is going to be leading a team to take care of a lot of stuff, and yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Now this news is great news for Dalton.
We're going to get some people that know how to write for once.
Yeah, so Tom Taylor, one of my, like, currently probably my favorite comic book writer. Tom Taylor and Bruno Redondo are taking over Nightwing starting with issue 78. I love Tom Taylor. He's so good. He made me love X-23. Like, I already liked that character. Like, she's a character that I've always just kind of liked, but All New Wolverine is still just one of my favorite X-Men books ever. It's so good. And it's a crime that certain characters are not currently featured in X-Men, including Laura Kinney. She's been missing for a while. Anyway, apparently Nightwing and Barbara Gordon are back
20
together,
issues behind,
and she's going to be co-starring in this book. So, like,
I know, right?
Time to get caught up, buddy. Because, a minor spoiler, they might be married now. Is what I was reading there.
Oh, I didn't
also
know
there's a three-legged puppy.
Why is he?
Yeah, Nightwing rescues a three-legged puppy.
I'm
going to
take a scene from Titans and say, F Batman. You have a character with a three-legged dog, and he is not the person on everything. I hope so.
He might be. Going forward, Tom Taylor's going to revolutionize everything.
He's so good. He's so good. Like, Jason who?
I
don't care.
You love Nightwing, buddy. I know you do. So, So you need to get caught up. Issue 78 is going to hit in March, so you have a couple months to get caught up. It is
100. And then I just don't buy comic books. Like, it takes me months to go buy comic books.
It takes me several weeks because I can only go on the weekends and only on certain weekends.
Oh, I'm telling the people.
Yeah, no, I do go there every, like...
They're so good.
4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, the people need to go there, too. Everybody needs to go there. Oh, COVID needs to be done with. Please. Please, vaccine, hurry. Yes. All right, and the last little bit of news here for comic books. Daniel Warren Johnson is going to be writing and drawing a new Beta Ray Bill miniseries. This is also going to hit in March. So Beta Ray Bill is the goat version of Thor. I mean that as the, you know, an animal and also the greatest of all time.
That tickled me.
I love Beta Ray Bill.
Just, I didn't think, because I was thinking of gore the whole time. I don't know why. Gore, and then you hit me with, my brain wasn't ready for it. I was coming up with a bad joke, and then you hit me with an amazing joke.
Yeah. I wouldn't go so far as amazing, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Beta Ray Bill is just cool, and I like that they're doing more and more stuff with them in Marvel, and I would like for him to get... you know, a lot more respect, and I'm sure he's going to make an appearance in one of these MCU movies at some point, and he'll get the respect he properly deserves.
Yeah, I think
deserves,
that Beta Ray Bill has a really good chance to become a new meme of comic books.
Keep getting these miniseries.
Of just, like, not the levels of Deadpool or Harley Quinn annoying, but, like, he is a cool character that you can do a lot with that I think people, if you put him in the right light and let him have fun, not, like, the character's not a fun character, but put him in fun stories, like, he could be very popular.
Yeah, like, having him just try to... like, having him take over the job of Thor for a little while. Like, Odinson's gotta go, you know, F off and do whatever. Like, you know, let Beta Ray Bill have some fun.
And a good Beta Ray
and
Bill
dealing
and
with
fun
humans, day-to-day problems and stuff
lot.
Like that.
But you
that
can do a lot of fun with him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This last portion of our show is... brought to you by nobody, but at the same time,
really
I'm going
to
go ahead and give Press
Start
to join a shout out because we have
him
in a while, and I like those
Canada.
Guys.
And I'm happy. Josh hit me. I did that bit on Facebook, and he hit me with, a bunch of people are trying to revolutionize it, calling it MMA Day, and I laughed way too hard at that really bad joke. Because, again, we've established I'm not good at listening to jokes that shouldn't be funny that are really funny to me.
All right.
It's called dumb.
Dalton has a peculiar sense of humor. All right, so Among Us reaches 500 million monthly active users. I have. I don't play it regularly, occasionally a group of friends gets online and we all play some.
I haven't. But
have you messed with it at all with like a group of people? We need to get, like, a Podzilla group together and, like, live stream that at some
Twitch.
Point or something.
I say because... it like it's a new thing. Sadie found this random person on Twitch one night, Sykuno, and he pretty much, like, he does a lot of other games, but he mainly does Among Us with people like Jacksepticeye and stuff like that. And Jacksepticeye has done stuff with...
I don't know who any of these people are.
But he's done stuff with, like, Ninja Sex Party and stuff.
YouTubers. We can go on.
Yeah, you've heard his voice before. It's very distinct. But
I do like Ninja
It
Sex
is the
Party.
Most fun. I'm not a big like let's player. Like I will watch people play games, but I don't do it for the personalities. Among Us is the greatest game to watch people play if they are all talking to each other. Yeah, cuz like there's a lot of strategy that is just very
ignorant. I can believe that.
And if you're with friends, like I could get Shannon to hate me.
Possibly. Because like we played it quite a bit. I say quite a bit. Like there was like 3 nights total that I've played it. One with one group of friends and maybe 2 or 3 nights with another group of friends. And I've gotten Shelby involved on that one too. And we have a ton of fun. And it's it's really fun, like, you know, trying to deceive your friends. Like, nah, man, it ain't me. I found out that I am a terrible imposter.
Yeah, and I'm like, I would backstab.
But I am really good at figuring out who the imposters are.
Because that's the fun part of it. Well, yeah, no, but, like, I would, like, I know I could get Shannon to be like,
that's what you do as the imposter.
I'm a vent, but don't tell people. And then I would just throw him under the bus. Or he would do it to me. I'd be like, just don't kill me. We'll work together. And then I'll be like, Shannon Vinted. And I would, because I'm a bad human. And I can't enjoy things.
I see what you're saying now. Yeah, no, whenever you play with your friends, it's usually you don't do a whole lot of talking while the game going.
But
you
just
save
while
you're talking
fun.
For when, you know, you're in, like, the meeting room. When you die, you go meet.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun. Like, it's way more fun than it really should be, is the point. And it's only, like, it's less than $5.
It's $5.
Like, wherever you're getting it. I actually don't know how much it is on Switch, but, like, it's free to get on mobile. And it's $5 on Switch. I think it's $5 on most consoles. It's, like, $3 on...
Give me a second, Jesse.
Any platform
door,
you can find it on PC.
So, keep talking.
Alright, fair enough. I'll just keep talking about Among Us. So, yeah, it's a fun game. It's really cool. Everybody should check it out. 500 million monthly active users is insane. That actually makes it the most popular game of all time as far as, like, monthly active users go. Like, that's a high. It's really, really good. Everybody should try it. I would really, really like to get the PZ85 guys
and
in on it. And I would like to stream it because I think that would be pretty entertaining. People can watch it on our
Facebook.
Yeah, they
seem to be having
a
lot of fun with, like, Phasma.
Which you can find at
facebook.com/podzilla1985. Is it just... Yeah.
The podcast and stuff. Yeah. No, yeah, because they have been having a lot of fun with that, and I'd like to do an Among Us thing some night. I might just talk to the guys in the group chat about it after this. Anyway. Respawn Entertainment is working on a new IP. These are the guys that did Titanfall. They're doing Apex Legends right now. They are
the
former
the ones that made the
guys
good games.
From Infinity Ward for Call of Duty.
Ooh!
This new IP... Oh, and they did a Jedi Fallen Order. That was Respawn, I'm pretty sure. So they're working on a brand new IP. And the tagline is, it lets players adventure
that's a cool
forever.
Name.
We know nothing other than that. Right? Like, it sounds like being able to adventure forever sounds interesting. Doing that outside of, you know, Skyrim. Because people are still adventuring in old Skyrim.
Yes.
I'm wondering if it's like an infinite procedurally generated universe. That would be incredible.
That would be pretty tight.
Almost certainly not the case, but would be incredible. All right. The next little bit of news here, we got Scott Pilgrim is getting a physical edition from Limited Run Games. Mm-hmm. Pre-orders starting on the 15th of this month, January 15th. They'll have three editions, a $35, just basically the basic game. You get, for $55, you get the game with some little, like, card goodies and a classic, like, clamshell box, which is kind of awesome. And then there's the huge $140 edition that comes with, like, some guitar picks, some drumsticks, just a whole bunch
except
of neat
limited
goodies.
Run games.
And they added a ton of merchandise on this website. So... yeah, I think so. You think you find it on there. Let's make sure. I know if you Google Limited Run Games and Scott Pilgrim, I guarantee that it'll be one of the top results. It is, in fact, the top result, and you'll be able to pre-order it here pretty soon. I see all three editions there, as well as all the merchandise, which I kind of want one of those hoodies.
That is
pretty awesome.
Slick. That's only $15.
And,
bucks.
Oh, I really
that's
want that
good.
Switch carrying case.
Okay, I want to see what this.
Holy crap! I want
that
Switch carrying case.
Box for the $140 version is pretty cool.
Right? Yeah, it's in like a record player that you open up. It's super neat, and it comes with that clamshell box. Like, think like your old school like Sega Genesis boxes. Like that's what this. That's what I'm talking about when I talk like an old school. And it's a reversible cover like clamshell box.
Yeah.
So it's just like...
If I get it, it'll probably be that
old
one.
Genesis game. Super neat. And then, yeah, a bunch of drumsticks, bunch of in-game content. Like, it's neat. It's neat. Like, because it's the complete edition of the game, so yeah, I guess yeah. All three versions probably come with all the DLC that was released for the game over time. And I'm definitely getting this for probably Switch, because I absolutely loved that game.
I mean,
I still technically own it. I don't know. I think
because I can't download it anymore, even though I bought it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's really silly. No, you can get it on PlayStation.
Because that's what me and that's what me and Derek played it on.
Yeah, maybe I had it on. Maybe I did have it on 360.
Then you could play. You
I wonder then if I still have it downloaded to my 360
Scott Pilgrim
downstairs.
Versus the World, but I cannot.
All right.
Lame.
The advantage of keeping that old system, I guess, because I got rid of my PlayStation 3 a long time ago. I barely even use my PS4. What would I use a PS3 for? It was a glorified Blu-ray player for me. The PS4 was a Spider-Man box. Well, I mean, after we stopped... It was a Destiny box, but then we all stopped playing Destiny. But anyway, so yeah, you can go to limitedrungames.com. And
yeah, I did. That thing is pretty.
Oh, I really want that Switch case, though. Did you see it? Oh, it's so cool, and it's only $15. Yeah, I might buy that. All right. And the last thing that I'm probably going to buy here, Mass Effect Legendary Edition had its release date leaked. Importantly, this was a leak, so we don't know for sure that that's when this game is releasing. It's just likely. And that'll be March 12th, 2021. So what? Much sooner than I thought.
Yeah, it's always
and
cool whenever
you Mass
get,
Effect
like,
fans out there. I mean, that's just kind of cool.
Extra stuff like that. Yeah, for like for the eighth time
when the game gets remade and looks pretty.
I know three is the case in Andromeda, for all the good stuff. But like one and two.
I mean, well, no, because there was Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3, and that's what's in the Legendary Edition. And then Andromeda is the fourth Mass Effect title. Which I still haven't played Andromeda. I was actually looking through. I was finally unpacking some stuff. It was my movies and games. I think the only thing that hasn't been unpacked because I haven't really used them, and they're mostly for display anyway. But I was unpacking it and I saw that I still have Mass Effect
Jesus,
Andromeda.
That's worse. I at least opened my
plastic,
movies that I haven't
plastic wrapped
watched. I like looking at the discs.
I bought it around
that's
release day because I wanted the steelbook case. Yeah, you know, I didn't
well,
buy
that was
Cyberpunk,
just, that was
even
a good
though
life
it was
choice.
The same situation. There was at one point... Cyberpunk, Best Buy had it. It was like a three-day sale. You could get Cyberpunk for $40. And I had a $25 gift card, and I still didn't go buy it to get the steelbook case. Right? I was very impressed with myself. It was one of those things where like I knew the multiplayer wouldn't hit for a while, and I was sitting there thinking about it. It was like all of my gaming time right now is either playing Call of Duty with the guys or playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's fair.
So why would I want to buy another game right now? Especially a single-player game. I have so many single-player games on my like computer right now that I haven't played. I installed a couple of them on my Xbox from Game Pass. That I still
I've been playing
played.
A lot of NFL Street
so,
2.
So, yeah, it would be really foolish for me to grab Cyberpunk right now.
They are criminally underrated.
I never got into the NFL Street games.
They're better than
I
those.
I absolutely loved the NBA Street games. I disagree. Because one of my favorite parts about the NBA Street was, like, you know, you made your own character... And you got
yeah, you
like
do
you
that,
recruited a team,
you do that
and as you
NFL
went through,
Street
you got better and better
well.
Players and that kind of thing, and you pumped, like...
Oh, well, that's one
like,
game mode. That's one game
team,
mode, yes.
Which, I don't know. Because it doesn't have the same, like, mode that NBA Street had, where it's just the one, you make your player and go through a story.
Huh?
And
Jesse, would you like to know what I played during Christmas break?
I don't think that's true.
Yes, the first NFL Street I don't think had that, where you create a single
character. Well, I played the first NFL Street 2,
there's
like
an exact mode where you do that. Because as a child, as a Ute, my aunt bought it for me for Christmas before I got the Xbox, and mom was mad because I wasn't supposed to know I got an Xbox. Yeah, just so you know, I was really sad because I knew I didn't have that system. But you could, I wanted NFL Street 2 because you could play the Own the City mode and then take that character and put him on Madden 06. Yeah. It wasn't as, like, great as if you did it through NCAA 06, but it was pretty good. Today you learned. It's pretty good. Randy Moss is a cheat code.
I might have to look into NFL Street 2.
Oh, I have an Xbox copy.
See if I can find an Xbox copy.
I have an Xbox copy.
That makes sense.
I can let you borrow it. I have Spider-Man. It keeps me
warm.
But
you have it. I don't have it. Oh. Well, might have to take advantage of that. All right, I think that's about as much as we could possibly stall for. So we're gonna peace out of here. Thanks, Dalton, for being here with me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Catch you guys next time. Make sure you hit us up on Facebook.com/Pazilla1985. We have been doing some of that cool live stream stuff, and I think we're gonna do more of that in the future because it is a lot of fun. Interacting with you guys is the best part of doing these shows. And make sure you hit us up on the subreddit, reddit.com/r/podzilla1985, and you can hit us up on Patreon, too. One day, we're going to get figured out what we're doing for those rewards, and it'll be worth supporting us financially again. Hopefully one day, very, very soon. But in the meantime, we're out of here. See you guys later.